Well, it is such a joy to be here with all of you today as we celebrate Catholic Schools Week. I'm going to start with a quote from Pope Francis that I thought fit the readings today. He said, "We are not in an age of change. We are in a change of the ages." Just take that in for a moment. It's not just that things are changing quickly. We're in a change of the ages, he said. As I look back on the last 2 years being here in JI School, we've seen about 25 new families join the school in 2 years, which is amazing. It's absolutely beautiful. You're welcome. We're so glad that you're here joining our JI family, right? Why do they come? First reason is still just the faith. They come for the faith, to be here to receive that. Sometimes families still need a little extra nudge to give it a try, though, right? And COVID really gave that nudge to a lot of families, didn't it? They came, they found the small class sizes for just a great education that they received. It's also a more controlled environment, so there was less COVID restrictions, and families really appreciated that, being able to have that kind of control over things. So like I said, the families have came, and they're staying. They love being here, right? However, last spring, when we started talking about a 7th and 8th grade again, something else came up. We had that meeting with a bunch of families, the council, the parents. And the parents who were interested in 7th and 8th grade said something that they were looking for. They were looking for a place where they could educate their children based on Christian principles. Because they were looking out in this time of COVID and seeing that there's been this cultural shift happening for many years, a shift away from Christianity and principles of Christianity. But in the time of COVID, what they saw is that that had been accelerated so quickly that now there was like a realization that our society is no longer based on Christian principles. And they were looking for a place for their kids to have that, especially in those formational years. We're not just entering an age of change. This is a new stage. It's a new era. There's a famous quote, and the quote says, "We're at the end of Christendom." What does it mean by Christendom? It means a society built on those principles, the economics, the politics of our society, and social life, that's built on Christian ideals and principles. He said, no, we're at the end of that. Not the end of Christianity, not the end of the church, but of Christendom. That is ending. We've seen it die. The person who said this quote was Archbishop Fulton Sheen in 1974. Not to like say, I wasn't even born yet. Not rubbing it in, but I wasn't born yet, right? All that's come since then, right? But he didn't end there. This is not the politics or the news trying to just make you afraid or get fearful, right? This is faith. And so Archbishop continued. He said, "Yet these are great and wonderful days in which to live." It's not a gloomy picture. It is a picture of the church in the midst of increasing opposition from the world. Therefore, live your lives in the full consciousness of this hour of testing that we're in, and rally close to the heart of Christ. I just thought that was so beautiful. He didn't say, get your guns. Rally close to the heart of Christ. I just got back this week. I was helping direct a retreat for guys preparing for ordination. So you remember Deacon Nathan was here this summer. He was there. The other two deacons from our diocese, we're going to have three priests ordained this spring. I all want you to come to support Deacon Nathan this spring, May 28th. But there was about 30 guys. And I wish that I could take all of you to the seminary. There is such hope for our church when you see these young men. They're impressive young men. They are not disillusioned. They know what they're entering. They know that they're entering a world that is opposed to everything they will stand for in the priesthood. But yet they also have a love and a zeal for Christ and for our Catholic faith. That is, it gets into you, you know? They know that, in fact, these are great and wonderful days in which to live. These men have come to know and to love this man, Jesus, so deeply that they couldn't imagine life without him. And it's moved their hearts to to offer their whole life in service to his church. These are great and wonderful days to be alive. You know, that quote I took, it actually came from the University of Mary, a book that they had put out. They have a really fascinating history. The last 10 years in North Dakota, Catholic college, instead of getting more secular like most are doing, they've gotten more Catholic, and they're booming. I went there to visit my brother. He was going to school there in 2008. We had daily Mass in a little chapel, fit maybe 20 people. There were 12 people at Mass. If you go there to daily Mass today, the chapel holds, I don't know, maybe 125 people, and it's standing room only every day at daily Mass. What's their secret? Because that's what we need, right? Their president, Monsignor Shea, who has an amazing vision, he said, we first need to understand the era we live in and how to respond appropriately to it. He said, we can't just keep functioning the way we used to. It won't work anymore. That's why so many families who raise their kids going to church every weekend find that their kids grew up and quit going to church. It's not because there was anything wrong that they did. It's because the world has changed. And so he said, we have to look back to the beginning. We need to look back to the apostles. How did this whole thing begin and start in the first place? What was it the apostles had when they started? How many bishops and priests? 11 for the whole world. They didn't have no religious orders. There were no schools. There were no hospitals. There was no social workers. They had very little money. And society towards them was either ignorant or hostile towards them. And yet the apostles were not discouraged. They were filled with joy and with hope. And as we know, it was one of those explosive times of growth in the church ever. Why? What did they have? They had God. They had God. And they lived their lives with God. They had come to know and to love this man, Jesus Christ, walking with him for 3 years so intimately that when he died, they realized that they couldn't imagine their life without him again. And so when they received the Holy Spirit and he sent them out, they changed the world. That's what we need here too, right? That's what we need in every school, in every parish, in every faith formation program. We need to have priests, deacons, leaders, every staff member that we hire that works in our parish, in our school, every volunteer that assists us, every family, every youth, every grandparent that has come to know and love this man, Jesus Christ, so much that you couldn't imagine your life without him. We have to believe, people who believe that the message we have, that our faith is good and has the power to change lives because it's changed our life. We need to know that, in fact, Christ is the answer to every problem in our world and in our lives. And that there's nowhere else to look than to him. We need to also be convinced of the bad news, that we need to be saved. That the world will lead us to sin, not to Christ. The world will not save us. And when caught in sin, that sin will destroy us and our lives. And only Christ can save us. We need to have experienced by living out a life in obedience to the gospel that we find that when we obey the gospel completely and fully in our life, that we find ourselves truly free. And that's what leads us to the greatest joy and happiness in our life. We need to know that life without God would be an empty wasteland. 12 genuine disciples of Christ who have rallied close to his heart in this way have more power to change our society than even 1,000 people who fill our church, but just with a lukewarm faith. My brothers and sisters, that's the program. That's the program. These are wonderful days to be alive. They truly are. But they're also to be aware that this is the hour of testing. Yes, the church will see increased opposition from the world. After all, in our gospel, Jesus' own hometown, threw him down the hill headlong to try to kill him. Jeremiah, who was a prophet of God, he was killed by his people. But St. Paul in the second reading tells us the response: to live with faith, hope, and love. And that the greatest of these is love. To be aware that this is a time of testing, and to rally close to the heart of Christ, to come to know and to love this man, Jesus Christ, so deeply that you couldn't imagine even one day without him.